We are in Hebrews 11:7 this morning as we continue our lesson of Noah, who by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You know, parents do that with their children, do they not? They warn their children of things not seen as yet, so that their decisions are made with an understanding of what can come about. But Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, you read things like that and you just get so blessed by God's word. And it's a tragedy that people so carelessly handle God's word. But we know from Scripture that Noah was a man who lived by faith. Now, you can be a man, a woman, a boy or a girl, and live by faith, or you can live by your wits. Wits will not get you to heaven. Wits will not establish a relationship with God. A relationship with God is established by faith. Now, for over 100 years, each day was a day that Noah welcomed as a day to live by faith. Do you get out of bed every morning and thank God that you can live by faith that day? That was Noah's day, for each day was occupied in preparing an ark. Can you imagine that? He says, I wonder if that lumber will come in today. Oh, I need that lumber for the third deck. It's a heavy deck. There's going to be large animals on that deck, and I need these supplies. I hope they come in. He lived by faith. So each day was occupied in preparing an ark, not only for his family, but for all the animals God would send to him when the time was right. Now, no doubt, in the faith venture that Noah was embarked upon, he faced extreme opposition and ridicule. Expect that. Don't be surprised when you, as you walk by faith, that you won't have opposition and extreme ridicule, but faith sets aside all the doubts and excuses and opposition and obeys the God on whom the faith is set. You know, your eyes are focused upon God as you walk by faith. The things of this earth are irrelevant as you walk by faith. Now, one of the great truths of God's word, a truth which none of us fully appreciate, is that faith comes with a power so great that it opens the door to the power of God. For we are told from Scripture that through faith, kingdoms were subdued. The mouths of lions were stopped. Swords were escaped. Weaknesses were made strong, and armies were turned to flight through faith. You know, God's power has no end. And shame on us for accessing so little of that power. You know, when we get to heaven, we'll say, why didn't I access that power? Why didn't I do more for the Lord? Why didn't I have more faith for the Lord? There was so much power, and I neglected that power. You know, each one of you has the power to access that power through faith. And shame on us for accessing so little of that power. Now think of that when you access the power from the wall receptacles of your home to move your drill, to move your saw, or your microwave. What would we moderns do without electrical power? Oh, we're so modern. We're so independent. We think so highly of ourselves, but turn off the power and we just whine and we cry. You think back when we had those hurricanes and how we whined because we were without electrical power for a few days. What are we going to do? Well, we got a generator all night. Where's the gas? I ran out of gas. No gas. Oh, we're so modern. But man's power is limited, but God's power to back up your faith is without end. So how many spiritual plugs do you have plugged into God's power station? For that is what faith consists of, accessing God's power. Accessing God's power. The power is available. How do you get to it? By faith. Just think of the immense result of Noah's faith, which brought him to complete an ark to the saving of his family. Can you imagine Noah first hearing what the job was to do? You want me to do what? How big? Where am I going to get the materials? Everybody will laugh at me. But through faith, Noah said yes. Noah, by faith, accessed this power. For he did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, for that is how faith in God will bring success. By faith. You want success in God? You access it by faith. There were no shortcuts, no compromise, no easy path, but Noah simply did what God told him to do. It's very simple walking on the path of faith. What do? You obey God. You do what you're told, what God tells you in His Word. So Noah said to God, astounding command, he said, yes, sir, reporting for duty, and busily engaged himself for a century with hammer and axe and saw and chisel while facing the crowd of doubters and preaching to them, as we are told in 2 Peter 2:5, the righteousness of God. So while he was pounding the Word of God. So remember from the life of Noah that faith always moves one to do all that God commands to do. Faith moves. Salvation, of course, is by grace, the grace of God alone, without any works on man's part. But God does not save without a purpose. And that purpose is to bring into His kingdom workers of good works. That's astounding, isn't it? God doesn't save for vain purposes. But He saves to bring workers into His kingdom to perform good works. Now, Paul told the Ephesians that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Sitting on your duff? No, unto good works. You know, God is in the saving business, but He does not save for vain purposes, but for good work. You know, we're called the body of Christ for a reason. We're not to be a sleeping body. We're not to be a lazy body, but a working body. And we're not to be a busybody either, you know. A lot of us are busybodies, but we're not busy in the right thing. You know, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Get your hands working. Get your mind working on God's work. So Noah was saved to do the good work of preparing an ark to the saving of his household. He was warned of God of things not seen as yet, and this brought him fear, which moved him to work to the saving of his family. Now, is not this work the same for every father who has been saved and now walks by faith and looks into the Scriptures and hears the warning of God of a coming judgment, and thereby, by his daily walk, prepares an ark to the saving of his household. That's your duty, fathers. Your duty is to prepare an ark to the saving of your household. Now, how are you doing, fathers? Ask yourself the question. How am I doing? Are you engaged with hammer, saw, and chisel on a daily basis, building an ark for your family? Are you pitching your ark, both within and without, with pitch to keep the ark afloat? Is this a diligent daily work, or will your ark leak and sink when tested? You know, it takes daily pitching of the ark to keep it from leaking and sinking. Will your children be in the ark when the coming judgment of God drops? Will they be in the ark? You know, Noah's faith was such as to bring his children in. And I think this should be a lesson to all fathers, that God will reward your faith with the saving of your household. There's scripture to support that. You ought not to lose your own household because you weren't diligent in preparing the ark. Noah's task was immense, but God's power will satisfy any task. God will not ask you to do anything that his power is not capable of fulfilling. God gave Noah a family, and that family was saved, and that lesson is for us to see to it that by faith our family is saved. Are you preparing the ark? Fathers, are you preparing the ark? Mothers, are you helping fathers? Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. On a daily basis, he walked with God. How do I do this, Lord? How do I do that? Noah was given to us as an example of a father who is obedient to God, and that obedience transfers to the salvation of his household. God told him in Genesis 6:18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." That was the arrangement that God made with Noah. So Noah got about the business of bringing up his sons so that when the time came, they would willingly follow him in the service of God. That is, in this case, the service of the only family on the earth saved to continue the human race. Boy, what a mission. Could Noah fail? Yes, he could fail if he refused to walk by faith, but he walked by faith. And when you walk by faith, you don't fail, because there's no failure with God. Now, in our verse of study, Hebrews 11:7 includes the statement by the which he condemned the world. Now, the word "by," I believe, refers to the ark being built by Noah and his sons. For every day for a century, the people looked upon the ark. And when they looked upon the ark, they were faced with a mirror in which their own sin was exposed. For the ark proclaimed a coming judgment, which could only be believed by faith. You know, one of the current modes in the culture is the positive life. Don't bring into my life anything negative. Oh, they wouldn't put up with Noah. They'd say, "Noah, you're too negative." But you know, the Christian message is negative in that there is a coming judgment. You've got to be faced with that. But that's what the ark proclaimed, a coming judgment. We who have access to Jesus Christ know that the ark of Noah is a type of Christ. The ark with its one door pictures a Savior, But as the ark of Noah condemned the world because it preached righteousness, so too does Jesus Christ condemn the world, for without being in Christ, all is lost. That's negative. You be in Christ or you're lost. You be in the ark or you're lost. And it is very apparent that the world of Noah's day hated Noah, for his life contrasted in every way from that of the world. Now you walk in this world and your life contrasts from the world. People will point at you and say, what's wrong with that person? What's the matter with you? But every board or every beam of the ark as it was placed, I imagine, was ridiculed. But this was only based upon a type, for the real ark of God is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ark. The ark testified that the works of the world then were evil, and Jesus Christ in John 7:7 had the same message to his disciples. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. That's where the hatred is focused. If you represent Jesus Christ, you're going to get that hatred, but the hatred is focused at Jesus Christ, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Our Lord said that. Don't throw that out, saying that's not positive. That's the truth. We live in an evil world. Christians today are feeling the heat of that hatred, for as the world moves further into darkness, the light of God's word seems brighter and more obvious to hate. You know, as far as they go away from the light, they hate it more. For every word of God opposes the darkness of the world. And Noah walked with God, for his testimony before the world was a bright light, contrasted to the darkness in which the sinner of that day dwelt. It was a bright light. And no one, you know, you turn on a bright light in the darkness. You get out of bed and you turn on the bathroom. Oh, that's too bright. Don't face my darkness with light. And that's what the evil world does. For Noah's bright light contrasted to the darkness in which the sinner of that day dwelt. So Noah's testimony also condemned the world in the sense that his daily walk of righteousness exposed their unrighteous lives of unbelief and naturally stirred up their hatred. Noah's faith reveals to us that our lives as children of God are to be such as to condemn the world. That's what the narrow way does. You walk on the narrow way, you condemn the world. We are to be light, exposing the darkness. We are to stand out in contrast to the world, and by living lives as instructed by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, we are to live pure lives, lives without fornication, lives without uncleanness, covetousness, or filthiness. We're to be pure. We are not to think when we receive persecution that it is some rare thing. Oh, I didn't expect this in my Christian walk. Well, you ought to. You ought to expect it if you walk right. For if your testimony is right with God, the world will be condemned by it and will react accordingly, just as it did in Noah's day. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. The righteous still will be persecuted by darkness. But faith brought Noah past the reviling of his generation, for he knew his faith was the evidence of things not seen. And that is enough to accept the present trials of affliction. You know, you look down the road of faith and you see the outcome. And how you get to that outcome is so small when you see the outcome to be with the Lord. But faith also thrives upon the words of Christ, recorded in Matthew 5:11-13, where Jesus told us, Blessed are ye when men will, what? Revile you. Have you ever been reviled? And you say, oh, praise the Lord. Most of us, oh no, I don't deserve this. But our Lord said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Notice that, for my sake. We put ourselves in that situation for Christ's sake. Remember that. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Notice where Jesus tells you to concentrate. Down the road. Look where you're going. All of these things that you're going through are nothing compared to what's to come. For great is your reward in heaven. And then he says this, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. You know, you lose this testimony for Christ. God is saying you're good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. We're the salt of the earth. Early in the Bible, God told his people Israel that he brought them forth from Egypt to be a peculiar treasure unto him above all people. A peculiar treasure. And in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 2:9, Peter again reminded the church, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, what? A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But even before these times, God chose Noah to be among the men of the world the most peculiar. He was so peculiar. Nobody ever did this before. As he preached the righteousness of Christ. For he believed God and obeyed God to the saving of his household. You know, the world, men and women who were like all the rest on earth, structured by Satan to think and act alike. That's Satan's program. To make his children think and act alike. My, you see that, don't you, in the culture? Thinking and acting alike. The ones not thought peculiar. They don't want to be peculiar. They don't want to be out of the mainstream. But what happened to them in Noah's day? They perished. But the ones thought peculiar were saved, for they sought safety in the ark of God. World, think of me as peculiar, but I'm in the ark. I'm in the ark. And the flood's coming. And if you're not in the ark, you'll perish. Now, the message of faith is that God's children are to be a peculiar people. Now, not odd, not kind of strange, but peculiar from the culture of the world. A holy, set-apart people. A people who oppose the broad way, the popular way, the pleasant way. For they are the people who walk the narrow way and know that their walk will condemn the world. And even when reviled and persecuted for that condemnation, we are to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, and that reward only comes because of faith. Now, in ending our study of Noah, we read the last phrase of Hebrews 11:7. which is, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now the key word here in that phrase is the word heir, H-E-I-R. You know, it's hard to learn the English language because we breathe air and we are an heir. So I'm sure that if you learn English for the first time, it's very confusing. But its use here refers to one who is entitled to possess. God calls his saints heirs of the promise, heirs of righteousness, heirs of salvation. So in this case, it refers to that which will fully come in the future. You know, we walk by faith, expecting things to fully come in the future. Yes, I'm saved, but I'm not ultimately saved until I'm in the presence of God in heaven. It was said of Abraham, one who came after Noah, that he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He says, I'm tired of these cities here on earth. Oh, there's so much going on in these cities that is anathema to God. I want to be in God's city. I'm looking for that city as he walked the dusty roads of Israel. It was also said of Abraham that his faith was accounted unto him for righteousness. Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That is what faith does. It puts you into the line whereby you are made righteous. Not of the law or of any works that you may do, but because you are put into one who is righteous. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you wear his righteous robes. When you get into the ark, you wear his righteous robes. So symbolically, when Noah entered the ark, he entered the place of safety. And by being in the ark, was declared righteous. All those not in the ark did not have this status and therefore remained in their unrighteous state. So it's very simple. To be righteous, you're righteous when you're in Christ, who is righteous. Now the Bible uses the word righteous in two ways. In our Hebrews 11:7 passage, it is described as the righteousness of faith, which means a righteousness that is imputed or accredited to another. This is described in Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Why? Because he believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Noah believed God and constructed the ark. But in all the century of good works, in constructing the ark, there was not found safety or salvation from the coming deluge and destruction. That whole century of constructing the ark didn't bring salvation to Noah. You know, Noah could have stood looking at the ark. He could have stood looking and glorying in his work and thinking that just in his work, God should be pleased enough to save him. That's the culture today. Oh, look at my work. Isn't that enough? Noah could have done that. But looking at the ark was not enough to bring him righteousness. Noah had to, by faith, enter the ark. And when he and the other seven did so, God closed the door and God executed his judgment upon all those who were without faith. The Old Testament writings are the physical manifestations of what is brought out in the New Testament relating to the spiritual. As we have said, the ark as a place of safety, as a place of salvation, is a clear physical manifestation of God's ultimate place of safety and salvation given to us in Jesus Christ. When a person trusts in Christ to bear his sin, God puts him in Christ, who is his ark, his place of safety, his place of salvation, and therefore God credits the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, to his account. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful to have the righteousness of Christ, but you have to be in the ark of Christ to do that? So God looks at the ark, is satisfied, and he shuts the door. Now this is a legal act where God declares those in the ark as not guilty, but also he declares them as righteous as his Son. In Romans 3, 21 and through 27, it reads this way, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, is seen, is shown, is open, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Oh, there's no boasting in yourself, because none of yourself did the job. Only Christ did the job. Now, secondly, the word righteous is also used to describe the right conduct that follows the declaration of being declared righteous by faith. So the righteousness of Christ produces the right conduct. God declares you righteous by entering the ark of God, Jesus Christ. But you know, as soon as you enter the ark, a work of conformance begins. You know, it's like the little dirty boy that comes into the house and mama says, "We got to get ready for church." And the act of cleanup takes place. You know, mom gets the little wash rag out, or maybe even gives him a bath if they have time, cleans up the little boy, and that work of conformance to a good-looking, nice little boy takes place. But when we enter the ark of God, God is not slack in this. He begins the work of conformance toward the fulfillment of that righteous state in which you are declared to be. He declares you righteous, and now he works at producing righteousness in your life. Romans 8:29 says this, "For whom he did foreknow," oh, God knew when you're going to enter the ark, "he also did predestinate," he made sure that it was going to happen, "to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Do you know that you're being conformed to Jesus Christ? God is good to tell us the faith of Noah, for it is still the faith that pleases God. Way back then, Noah had the same faith that we're to have thousands of years later, because it still pleases God. God hasn't changed his mind. God hasn't said, "Well, I'm bored with that. Let's start something new." No, he still is pleased when people believe him. It is the faith that will bring the sinner into the safe harbor of God's only and true ark, His Son, Jesus Christ. We are not to just look at the ark and marvel at His strength and power. We are to, by faith, get aboard. And only by exercising faith will we be saved. You know, come to me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know how you get rest? You got to get into the ark. Oh, those folks that didn't get into the ark, there was no rest for them as they were tossed about, fighting to save their very lives, going under, coming up and going under, and then soon staying under and lost forever. Get into the ark, get aboard, for only by faith will we be saved. Father, we are thankful for the story of Noah. But Lord, we're so thankful for the ark, for it communicates to us a coming ark in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we are to get in the ark of Christ if we expect to be saved from the onslaught of judgment. So do bless us, Father, now as we go to our service. Bless our pastor as he preaches and teaches. We thank you so much for his faithfulness all these years, every week, several times, preaching and teaching, guiding, leading. We hold him up to you, Father, for your special blessing of good health and strength that he might continue to do the work of the ministry. We thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen.